This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it, bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. On State Street, that great street, I just want to say, they do things they don't do on Broadway. They have the time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago, Chicago, my hometown.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Ed. Chicago, that is my old hometown, Chicago. That's Frankie. Boy, singing that song. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We are not in Chicago, but rather in Clearwater, Florida, Tampa Bay, Florida. I am Paul Molloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, December the 15th already, halfway through the month of December, 10 days away from the big day. In a few minutes, Nathan Harden of Real Clear Politics is going to join us. We're going to talk about their college free speech rankings. And you know, these days, there's a lot of talk about whether or not there's very much free speech in what used to be a bastion of free speech, colleges. So I'm really looking forward to it. This is a survey, by the way, of over 20,000 students nationwide, so stay tuned. And Joe Biden is officially selected president yesterday by the Electoral College, while Attorney General William Barr resigns. We're going to get some thoughts on both of these events with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci, a little later in the show. And by the way, what kind of an agenda does Joe Biden have in store for us? What's he want to do? We're going to talk about that. Well, we'll take a look. Stay tuned for that. And also, you know, we've given you the top 10 longest-serving senators and the top 10 longest-serving congressmen. Now we're going to give you the top 10 longest-serving mayors in the U.S. I think you'll find it interesting. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. You guys, now listen to me. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay that I've ever found is Andrew's Master Barbershop, Andrew Ceraci himself and his staff. It's in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, 8:30 to 5 on the weekdays, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2. You guys, call 727-733-3773 and get ready for the best haircut you've ever had. And glad to see that Paul and Tracy Allen are back on Good Morning Clearwater. I mean, they are so much fun to listen to, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., here on the Tan Talk Network. And by the way, they're not only good on the air, they're good with posters and flyers and banners and business cards. Just call them, 727-330-3212, 330-3212. Well, wow. So maybe it's official now, huh? Now maybe everybody's going to finally agree, Joe Biden is the president? Or are we still going to continue to go down the road of, well, maybe we can figure something out here and Trump really is still the president, you know, all of that kind of thing. In the meantime, Bill Barr has quit. Now, why does he quit just before the end of the term? Why doesn't he wait for the last couple of weeks? I mean, they said good things about each other, the president, Bill Barr. Barr resigned yesterday, saying he will depart the Justice Department while touting Trump's record and accomplishments and saying his presidency was met by a, quote, partisan onslaught and in the face of relentless, implacable resistance. So they're leaving, apparently, on good terms. Why doesn't he wait for the last few weeks. What's the point of quitting? Did Trump want to make a last moment statement about his being upset with Barr not coming out with the Hunter Biden story? Should Barr have let that leak? Because, you know, as Attorney General, he's not supposed to be opening up information like this. Now, it was done during the Obama administration. We know that. Look at the leaking that was done there about the way they were looking into the affairs of Donald Trump, right? Anyway, that's over with. And Trump says in a tweet, our relationship has been a very good one. He's done an outstanding job. And then he says, as per letter, Bill will be leaving just before Christmas to spend holiday with his family. Well, he was going to be spending the holidays with his family anyway. Doesn't have to not be the Attorney General during that time, I don't think. But there we go. So we'll talk a little bit about that later. In the meantime, speaking about Hunter Biden, he apparently did not report approximately $400,000 in money he got on the board of Burisma. Remember that? The Ukrainian natural gas firm? Well, that's okay. He just forgot. Ed forgets every once in a while, a couple $100,000. He doesn't. Not a big deal. So apparently Biden joined Burisma in 2014. So that means he joined it while his dad was the vice president. And I guess his own attorney says, yeah, he needs to amend that little faux pas. He sent a note to his client, Hunter. And apparently it got out. Some Fox News has gotten some of the information. It's just amazing how the press does not want to talk about Hunter Biden. I wonder if Hunter will be at the inauguration. I'm going to look for him in the crowd. How about Joe's brother, who's also involved in all of this, apparently? Will he be at the inauguration? Maybe we should have... Maybe Fox News, when they present the inauguration, you know how you can highlight somebody on the camera and just make them stick out? Maybe they can do that, and we can see if Hunter and, is it John Biden? I think it's John Biden, can show up. But Biden, Hunter is under some federal investigation. Not one question, well, one question came from Fox News. Not one other question to Joe Biden. About Hunter? Not one. I guess it's not important. But when you're basically the idea swirling around that you might have laundered money from China and Chinese government officials, don't you think if it's not true, I sure would want to tell everybody it wasn't true, make a point of saying it. I wouldn't want that swirling about. But apparently, they're not going to question him on that one. It's a different world with the press right now. Maybe down the road, they will bring it up. In the meantime, there's a grand jury, you know, looking into it. There's a grand jury that's been called. Doesn't look good for Hunter. I think things are looking kind of tough for him. Whether or not it bleeds into his father, we'll find out. All right. Hey, let's find out a little bit more about what free speech on college campuses, what that's all about these days. We're going to talk with Nathan Harden of Real Clear Politics, so stay tuned.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut
you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Tune in to Oldies Channel Radio every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Do you remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, we'll be playing the greatest hits as well as plenty of songs from the B-side. This show is sure to bring back memories. So pull out your record collection, adjust your antenna, and listen to Oldies Channel Radio Fridays from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back, and I'm really delighted to have Nathan Harden join us. He is the education editor at Real Clear Politics, and they have conducted a survey in partnership with the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education to find out what free speech is like, according to the students themselves, on campuses across the country. And I guess, Nathan, you conducted a survey of about 20,000 students. And these days, we talk about the stifling of free speech on campuses across the country. So this is very revealing. Thanks for joining us. Tell me, basically, what are some of the schools that that are doing well on this survey?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the program.
Sure.
As you said, you know, this is the largest survey on the topic of free speech ever conducted on, across our nation's campuses. So we've really never had a look at the data at this level, really hearing from students themselves about, you know, do they feel free to express themselves? Do they feel free to express controversial opinions online? And so, you know, University of Chicago came in the number one spot. You know, they are one of those schools that's taken a proactive approach. You know, their president has really said, hey, you know, he's drawn a line in the sand, said, we're going to protect free speech. We're going to protect open inquiry in our classroom.
Wow.
You know, a lot of other big name schools didn't fare so well in our survey.
Yeah. First of all, kudos to the University of Chicago. It's always been considered a great school. I remember Milton Friedman was connected
That's
with
right.
the University of Chicago. All very proud of that. And I guess the other schools you have mentioned in the so-called top five, Kansas State, Texas A&M, UCLA, and Arizona State.
Correct.
You know, just overall, when I was going to school way, way, way back in the 60s in college, you know, there was this hint of liberalism when it came to professors. And, you know, you went to the courses and you did this and that and the other thing. But I remember we had a Republican club and we had a Democratic club on campus at that time. And I never felt any intimidation one way or the other. But I guess that's not quite the case anymore, huh?
Well, I think these days, you know, we see it on social media a lot. People can sort of be piled on if they express, you know, a politically incorrect opinion. And in some cases, they can be fired. They can be sort of ostracized socially. And students tell us that a lot of what they fear now is not so much from their professors, although 25% of the students do feel reluctant to disagree or with their professor publicly. But the bigger issue is they fear being shunned by their peers if they, for instance, hold a political opinion that is not the majority opinion on their campus. And we see that, you know, that really affects the ability for the university to operate in the way it's supposed to. This is supposed to be a place where people can, you know, share ideas openly, have free debate. That's kind of what you were talking about when you were in school. If people can't express themselves without fear of reprisal, then that's really diminishing the experience that they're supposed to be having in a university in the first place. So we created this rankings, which people can go to. If they go to realclear.education.com, they can go there and see how the schools that interest them really stack up on this issue. You know, if you have a list, this time of year people are applying to college. You can go and see, hey, you know, how does my favorite school really stack up on this issue? If I go here, you know, and I have an unpopular political opinion, am I going to feel free to express myself?
Right. So how did they do the study? Now, I know that they had about 20,000 students. Do they just at random contact them via an email or a letter, or do they personally show up on the campuses? How did they grab all of these kids to do this?
Yeah, you know, a lot of it was done. Our partner is the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, as you mentioned, but there's also a research firm named College Pulse is involved in this. And they have a couple of very high-tech ways that they access students through their mobile platform. So it actually comes in, you know, they have a roster of thousands of students that they secure through their technological platform, and then they're able to actually get those students to respond to surveys, and they know which campuses they actually belong to.
Yeah.
So instead of, you know, just a broad picture across the country of how students are feeling, we can actually figure out campus by campus what are the differences between these schools. In a place like University of Chicago or even UCLA is doing far better than, say, you know, a place like Harvard, where students tell us that they're, even liberal students there told us that sometimes they're afraid to express themselves if they aren't liberal enough.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I used to think of places like Berkeley University as being really free thinking. I say it was thought of that way back in the 50s and the 60s. And yet they've made a complete 180, I think, there, among other places where you are now shouted down. Even if you you're not invited to do a commencement if you have a politics that they are not comfortable. It's generally, you know, the liberal philosophy, let's face it, you know, it's permeated campuses for a long time. Kids generally, I think, tend to be a little bit more liberal in their emotional responses. As they mature, many of them turn more conservative, you know, as they face things in the real world. But they go into schools already sort of like willing customers, I think, to the libertarian experience. But now,
well, you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, these shout-downs, and this is something we see where someone like Ben Shapiro, for instance, has experienced this, where he goes to a campus and, you know, sort of the mob of students shout louder and louder until he just has to, he can't be heard. You know, 42%, here's a stat for you, 42% of the students at Stanford told us that they felt that was acceptable, to shout down a speaker that they thought was offensive. But that number was only 13% at Kansas State. So you can see some pretty big differences at these schools. And it tends to be more the elite schools, the private elite schools that have a worse climate for free speech, according to what students told us, than some of your larger, maybe state or public universities. But it's, you know, this problem is everywhere. And I want to reiterate, even Chicago, which won top spot in our survey, only scored a 64 out of 100, which
really
is still a failing grade.
It is, isn't
right?
it?
So this is a problem everywhere, although some universities are doing a better job of counteracting this trend in our culture than others.
We're talking with Nathan Harden. He is the education editor at Real Clear politics. Nathan, do you think overall it's getting worse on campus? Or do you think with all of the publicity, for instance, like what you can generate here, that maybe the college experience is going to start making a turn and going maybe the other way and maybe being more open about free speech? Because they're, let's face it, the spotlight is on them these days.
Well, there's sort of two answers to that question. In one sense, we have made progress on this issue, and universities are taking it seriously. And we hope this rankings is something that, you know, senior administrators at these colleges can look at and say, hey, you know, we have some improvement we need to make. And in fact, one of the schools that scored very low in our ranking emailed us and said, you know, well, we're committed to free speech, but we can see that our students don't really feel the effect of that. So we want this to be an incentive. On the other hand, as I mentioned, we live in a very polarized time politically, and people just in general in our culture are quicker to demonize the opposition. They're more likely to want to shout down or cut off speech that they disagree with. So we have some major work to do in counteracting that. Once these students arrive on campus, a lot of them are already primed to want to, you know, eliminate all opinions that they find offensive. And that's not healthy.
No, it's not. You mentioned, I think, DePauw. Not DePaul, but DePauw University. Isn't that in Greencastle, Indiana? If I'm what
yeah,
the heck? I would have thought. Wait a second, Greencastle, right in the Midwest? There, no way. DePauw is the worst, huh?
They had the unfortunate experience of landing at the bottom of the ranking. Yeah, and you know, we look at these schools, and we can dig out some statistics of, you know, why are some of these schools at the bottom, or why are some you know, not doing so well. And one of those that didn't fare very well was Columbia University, Ivy League school in New York City. You know, there, 10% of the students told us that they thought it was either always or sometimes acceptable to use violence to stop speech that they find offensive.
Wow.
And that's a startling figure. And they were sort of the worst on that point. But, you know, that's where you get into a level of intolerance that you can see seeping over to what we've seen in the country this whole year, where we've seen riots, we've seen destructive behavior. A lot of that starts with, you know, the attitudes that are formulated either online, a social media atmosphere,
yes,
and then can be reinforced when these kids enter college and they're told that this kind of they should never have to seriously engage with opinions they disagree with.
Yeah. And, you know, it's sort of like, and again, I go back because I was experiencing it a little bit, but the propriety, you know, all of a sudden in the mid to late 60s, we started with the demonstrations, not only in the cities, et cetera, but on the college campuses as well. And all of a sudden we lost that propriety. And maybe it started there, you know, now, you know, it's okay to shout down somebody, even though they've been invited to speak at the college. And it's okay to stifle the free speech of somebody, whether it be a professor who dares to say something that goes against whatever is in at the moment, or a student who stands up in class and says, well, may I ask this question? And it goes counter to the philosophy that is currently being taught in that classroom. But the sense of propriety seems to have left us, and now it's a shout-down situation.
Yeah, and you know, that's a problem that's not just making the educational experience diminished, it's also reducing our ability to operate as a civil society. You know, and the problem goes beyond, you know, actively suppressing speech. One of the big problems we brought out in this study was that how many students are self-censoring because they're simply afraid to voice an opinion that they feel will be unpopular. So 60% of the students in our survey said that they have self-censored. And that number for conservative students is 72% versus 55%
wow.
for liberals. You know, it makes sense because most conservatives, most of the time, conservative students are in the minority, so they're more likely to want to self-censor. But, you know, it's majority even of liberal students. And so then you don't always have to see someone shouting you down or, you know, threatening you with violence or something. Sometimes it's just the fact that people are afraid to speak up in the classroom because they don't want to be ostracized.
No. You know what generates, what happens, though, when all of this occurs? You get the secret groups meeting. You know, it happens anywhere where you try to stifle something. You get these little secret groups that start to blossom. It's too bad that they have to do it in secret, but I'll bet you that's what's happening on a lot of campuses. They actually have organizations that aren't maybe official organizations. What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, I'm looking back to my college experience, and, you know, there were always the political groups that you could join, you know, if you were on the left or on the right or wherever you were, libertarian, you know, there was a group for you. And I think those kind of interest groups are hugely important on campus. But I think it's a problem when they're restricted to their own little corner.
Oh, of course it is.
Of the room, as it were, you know.
Yeah.
Because what we find is that the more that a student was in the minority, meaning the more that their political views were in the minority, the less free that they felt to express themselves. And the more emboldened, in some senses, you know, the majority might feel to suppress those opinions. So it's important to have those groups, and people are going to find a way to express themselves. But we need to be in dialogue with people who disagree with us, I think.
Absolutely.
Otherwise,
right.
You know, we're just going to find it harder and harder to hold ourselves together culturally and politically as a society.
Exactly right. I'm so glad you did the survey, Nathan. And, you know, maybe it'll help. Maybe it'll help open things up again. Thank you so very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Our pleasure. Nathan Hardin, Real Clear Politics. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Joe Biden is officially selected by the Electoral College. Bill Barr resigns as Attorney General. We're going to get some thoughts on both these events with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci.
If I can hold you, then let me squeeze. My heart goes round and round. My love will tumble me down. You leave me breathless.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM, to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
are back, and I'm just reading a story here. Top executives in Facebook and Twitter donated tens of thousands of dollars to Joe Biden's campaign, according to Federal Election Commission records. Guess how much they donated to Trump's campaign? Zip. None. Nada. So we kind of know where they were, right, when it comes to that kind of a thing. In the meantime, I'm looking at a Federalist organization paper, and they talk about the fact that, of course, big tech and the media have both really conspired, you might say, to suppress the Biden, Hunter Biden and election rigging stories. Federalist co-founder Sean, I don't have his last name here, charged big tech and big media of rigging the elections in November through their conspired suppression of blockbuster stories, okay, exposing incriminating information on their preferred presidential candidate, Joe Biden. Well, you already bought into that, Andrew, and I wanted to get your thought, though, on why did Bill Barr, the attorney general, why did he quit with just a couple of weeks left, you know, in the tenure?
Well, after 2 years of investigations, he hasn't done anything. He knows he was caught being part of them.
You think so?
Of course. Come on. Well, he was in control of everything. You know, if the FBI wants to find out something about somebody, they got him investigated in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
This guy had 2 years, Paul. Well, we can't find nothing. We're going to wait till now. We're going to wait till then. Oh, I'm not going to let this out because this might influence the election. Well, he was right. It did.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, the scumbag, just like all the rest of them, Paul.
Well, technically, the attorney general is not supposed to start talking about investigations like this publicly. I mean, that's supposed to be something like, you know, rather than say, hey, we're doing an investigation of this guy. We don't have all of the information in yet, but I wanted to announce, because it does rather taint somebody that might be innocent,
no,
right?
Paul, come on, 2 years? Let's be real.
Yeah. No, I mean, why didn't the media bring it up? See, that's the thing.
Because the media was for Biden, too, Paul.
Of course. That's
right?
My point.
Everybody's covering it all up. They're all part of it, Paul. We're at war in this country within ourselves, okay? You've got the globalists trying to take over this country. You got China trying to influence it. And you got one guy fighting it, Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah, he certainly has been at the forefront of trying to stop
the infiltration. Okay, Paul, let me tell you
something.
Without Trump in 4 years, this country is done. These people are going to draft Donald Trump in 4 years if Biden gets through with this, to be honest with you. Which I still think there's things going to happen before then, Paul.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, the Electoral College has voted now, so officially Biden is president-elect, but...
No, what I understand is these votes are all sealed, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were certified, whatever, but nobody knows what's in that envelope until January 6th, from what I understand. Maybe I could miss...
Well, the Electoral College is a public vote.
Okay. Now, what do they say that these votes are sealed in an envelope and they don't get open until January 6th?
I don't know anything about that. Where did you hear that?
I was just reading it, and as a matter of fact, it was Clear Politics.
Yeah.
They've had the article about it.
I don't know about that. They have to officially certify the election.
Okay, because they're saying there are some electors in there that, because of what's going on, can throw their vote differently.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all confusing to me, Paul.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. I think they voted, and now, after all of the vote, then it's handed. I think the formality is then it's handed to the House or to the Congress to certify it, to certify that this is the vote of the Electoral College. So between now and the handoff of the voting certification, you know, maybe something can occur. I don't know what.
Now, Paul, I'm curious of this one. Now, all of a sudden, Hunter Biden's in the spotlight again. Well, you know it's the Democrats throwing out all these leaks because they're going to try and get rid of them. Now, if before an inauguration, all of a sudden, Joe Biden is involved with these things, oh, no, we can't have him as president. What is Camilla doing automatically before an inauguration?
If I were Kamala Harris, I'd be pushing all of the leaks.
Well, she's probably doing the leaks.
Yes. She wants to be up there on the stage, you know, on the whatever they create in front of the White House to be inaugurated on January the 20th.
Man, you can't predict nothing that's going on right now. You can't predict a thing. This country is in so much turmoil, I don't know what to expect.
Oh, I think I've been listening to certain programs where people call in, like in C-SPAN, and you're right. There is a real division in this country right now. There's a lot of very angry people. It's almost a 50-50 deal.
The pot is on the stove and the water is beginning to boil.
Yeah.
Like I say, I don't know what to expect. I can't even predict it. I don't know who could be president.
Yeah.
It might be Xi Jinping for all I know coming in January 20th.
So
you know?
Doesn't this make the two senatorial elections in Georgia that much more important? Because if the Republicans... Go ahead.
How are you going to trust these elections? Nobody's going to trust them.
Well, they got all these people now. The
Republicans. Don't matter who they got watching.
Yeah, the Republicans.
What happened the last time everybody watched?
I know. But at least in this case, it's a smaller universe to watch. I don't know. So if the Republicans maintain one of those two seats, they therefore will hold the advantage. And they can stifle anything that comes out of Pelosi's Congress House, right? And then it can't get to nutty old Joe Biden's desk, right?
This is true too, Paul.
You know,
like I say, who knows what to expect? I don't know what to expect with this presidential election.
Uh-huh.
It ain't over, but I'm telling you, nothing's over till it's over. And it's getting ridiculous, to be honest with you. But I don't know what to expect with anything.
Do you think Trump will show up at the inauguration ceremonies?
I heard rumors he's planning on flying into Florida and having a big rally on that day.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And that would be great because, listen, I know there's not going to be too many tuning into that anyway. They only allow 20 people there, aren't they?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, how do they social distance? Normally, you recall when he's taking the oath in front of everybody. It's a packed house.
How many people is he going to draw? Look at his rallies.
Well, we were just talking earlier about whether or not his brother, I think his name is John, and son Hunter will be there in the crowd. Do you think they'll be invited? I don't think Hunter will ever be invited to the White House. He may never see the inside of the White House.
Well, yeah, Paul, Joe Biden might not see it. You don't know.
Well, that's true.
You don't know. I mean, look at in the Ukraine, I guess. They got him... And the court saying that they paid him $900,000 and things flying all over the place.
Yeah, there is.
You don't know what to believe. You don't. If you got to see it in front of you.
So the vaccine is going out all over the place. I don't know when Florida is actually going to be administering it to the everyday people here. Maybe they'll do it through the different pharmacies or something. You know, like Walgreens or CVS. What do you think?
I'm waiting to see how that's going to promote hair growth, Paul.
Yes, we talked about that the other day. Maybe it's like the fountain of youth.
I don't.
Maybe everybody gets younger.
I don't care how long it was warp speed, this and that. Damn, warp speed only means they didn't have time for 3 years to go by to see what happened.
Did you hear that China's got its own version of the vaccine?
China's been well for a long time, Paul.
I just wonder, would you take
China's
the Chinese vaccine?
Full force and look at us.
I don't think I'd take the Chinese vaccine.
It's like I told you.
If they caused it.
Even if they were to go to war, I mean, if their war machines work as good as all the products they sell in this country, we got nothing to worry about.
So tell me a little bit about what you think is local politics going on here. I guess, you know, people are going to be a little bit down in the Republican Pinellas County thing. But are they kind of girding up again, do you think, to promote? We had a lot of Republican victories down ballot.
Yeah, and, you know, Paul, they're already gearing up for 2 years from now. So
mm-hmm.
who knows if there's going to be a Republican Party in 2 years from now? Trump can start his own party. I got news for you.
Well, he could.
That's right.
He could start a populist party.
I got news for you. He could put the Republicans out of business, Paul, and I don't think that's not his agenda.
If he really did that, he would only strengthen the Democrats' chances of keeping...
Well, you keep saying that,
yeah,
Paul,
absolutely, I would.
The Democrats strengthening, okay? Listen, supposedly they got 74 million votes and 80 million votes. How much are you going to strengthen them, Paul? I don't see it. I think you're going to see the diehard Republicans switch to the Trump
But they'll never be able to capture the White House when you split.
Paul, let's see what happens with this.
Independents never win
in the next 4 years.
I know, but independents never win.
Let's see if the gas won't be called an independent, Paul.
Well,
the Republican Party might end up being the independent.
It might be. But, yeah, you might be.
Let's see what happens when the gas hits $4.50 a gallon. Their income is taxed like crazy.
Yes, I agree.
To all the people that don't want to work or raise this, or let's see what happens.
I agree with your philosophy. I'm on board with it.
The first one screaming, Paul. Believe me.
I know. I'm on board with what you're thinking. We want more free markets. We want more. All of the good things that come with less government regulation. We want lower taxes. And Donald Trump was promoting all of that. We want more Made in America products. He was promoting that.
It's all gone, Paul, if Biden gets
you think,
it.
Yeah.
We're gonna be, listen, we were in the creek when Obama was president for 8 years. Now with this guy, he's going to double the damage Obama did in half the time.
That's why maybe it's so important, as I said, about keeping the Senate for the Republicans to block any of this nonsense. Yeah. Well, like you said, Biden is not in the White House yet. We're going to see what happens. In the meantime, I want to thank you, as always, my friend, and we will be talking with you again this Friday. Maybe things will be interesting to see if there'll be any change between now and then.
Every day is a different awakening, Paul.
It is. Absolutely.
All right, buddy. You have a good day.
Keep the faith, my friend.
Jump with you.
All right. Thank you very much. The Master Barber. Okay. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, speaking of Biden's agenda, what does he have in store for us? We're going to take a look at some of the things, if he could get them through, that he would get through.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen to us live, you do have the opportunity to listen to us on podcast. Big Ed sets up all our shows on our website. So just go to ourfreedomworks.com and look for the podcast button at the top. And there you go, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, what exactly will Joe Biden's presidency look like? Well, of course, it depends maybe almost entirely on what's going to happen with those two Senate runoff elections in Georgia. If the Republicans win just one of those two seats, then the Democrats likely would be
incapable of passing any legislation without the consent of several Republicans, and in many cases, without the blessing of Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. So that would severely handicap them. However, let's say the Democrats win both of those Senate seats. They would then control the Senate, the House, and of course the White House. And Biden's platform then could proceed. It includes several major, what they call, Great Reset reforms, covering energy, climate, and the economy. As far as the economy goes, Biden's tax plan would raise corporate tax rates from 21% to 28%. It would also create a new 15% minimum tax on corporations, a minimum tax on companies that earn $100 million or more. You have to pay at least 15% no matter what. He's also proposed doubling the tax rate of income earned overseas by U.S. corporations, doubling it to 21%, and to creating a Social Security payroll tax for people earning more than $400,000. So he's sucking money out of the rich, okay? Not a good thing, because it always means that they find way. I mean, what happens when you tax corporations, as an example? What do you think happens? What happens is they pass those costs down to the consumers of their products. That's what happens. I mean, that's just economics 101. Now, Biden has repeatedly promised to push the U.S. back into the Paris Climate Agreement. It would require the United States in 10 years, 2030, to reduce its carbon dioxide by nearly 30% below 2005 levels. Did you know that we're already reducing our emissions because of the free market? You know why? First of all, we're going to get it done quicker in the free market. They will do it, a better job of doing it, because people want to have cleaner running cars. They want to have cleaner running factories and companies that create any kind of manufacturing product. It's just the natural way of things. You don't want to have bad water in your neighborhood. You don't want to have bad air in your neighborhood. Do you think that these people that create these products and live in those neighborhoods want to have bad air and bad water? No. That's the incentive. They go out of business if people start to think that they're ruining our air and our water. They'll go out of business. But anyway, so he wants to get back into the Paris Climate Agreement. It would reduce, it would require that we have a 30% reduction in carbon dioxide emissions from 2005 by 2030. Well, first of all, you're not, you know what? China's not doing it. Are we going to do it and not China? That's so stupid. And his radical climate plan to spend at least $2 trillion in his first term, $2 trillion, trying to put the country back on the path towards having the entire electric grid be 100% carbon dioxide neutral by 2035, that's nonsense. You're not going to be able to do that. I don't know what he's thinking. It's crazy. Anyway, those are the kinds of things. That's why it's so important. We win one of those two seats, Republicans, in Georgia. Very important. All right, it's time for our top 10. I'm going to wake Ed up. Ed, get over there on the drums. We've got a good one, I think. This is good. Remember we did the longest-serving senators?
Yep.
And we did the congressman. That was kind of fun. So I thought I went out and looked for the longest-serving mayors. Now, nobody really would know these. Mm-hmm. So just for fun, we're going to just tell you who they were. Here we go. Number 10. Rosemont, Illinois Mayor Donald Stevens. He served for 51 years. Rosemont is a suburb of Chicago. From 1956 to 2007. Okay, number 9. John M. Coyne, Brooklyn, Ohio, 52 years right on the noggin, 1948 to 2000. All right, number 8. Gerald Calabrese, Cliffside Park, New Jersey. He served 52 years there from 1961 to 63, and then again from 1965 to 2015. Number seven, Robert Butler, Marion, Illinois. That's downstate Illinois. 54 years from 1963 until 2018. Number six, Paul Jerko. Boy, you could have a lot of fun with his last name.
Hey, Mayor Jerko.
Exactly. I was just thinking of some signs that I will not tell you about that you could have if you were running against him. He served for 56 years from 1931 until he died in 1988. He'd still be there, maybe. Okay, number five. Bruce Arnold, Valparaiso, Florida. Where is that? Do you know where Valparaiso, Florida is?
I've heard of it.
Well, that's not good enough. Yeah, I'm asking you where it was. That's all right. I don't know where it is either.
Down south somewhere.
Yeah, 56 years, 321 days. 1964 until he died, 2017. Number four, Robert Lynn, Beaver, Pennsylvania. Wow. He served for 58 years and 233 days. I wonder if that's the area where, you know, in February, you poke your head out to see whether the sun's out, and then you know whether you're going to have a longer winter.
Oh, that's Punxsutawney.
Well, isn't that close?
No. Beaver,
Pennsylvania. It should be
there. I know
there.
Beaver Falls, but I don't know if just Beaver.
Yeah, Beaver, Pennsylvania. Anyway, he served from 1946 until 2004. Okay? Number three, Charles Long, which is appropriate last name for him because he served 60 years in Boonville, Kentucky. Jeez. Boonville. Must have been where Daniel Boone was from, right?
Maybe.
1958 until 2019. All right. Number two, John H. Land, Apopka, Florida. Now, we know where Apopka, Florida is, don't
mm-hmm.
we?
Yep.
Where is it?
It's in the northern part, like around, it's up Ocala, north of Ocala, actually.
Yeah.
Apopka.
Apopka, that sounds good. Very good. Very good. Okay.
I think Warren Sapp is from there, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The great football player
yeah,
for the.
I believe so.
Okay. Well, John H. Lancer, 61 years, 111 days in Apopka, 1950. First of all, he served from 50 to 1968. He comes back in 1971, and he serves until 2014. Can you imagine being in office from 1950 to 2014? Wow. All right, Ed, a drum roll for the guy that lasted the longest as a mayor. Richmond, Texas, 63 years and 73 days.
Was he that good or nobody else wanted the job?
That's exactly what I'm wondering. Maybe there's only three people. Anyway, he served from September 22nd, 1949 to December 4th, 2012.
Wow.
Holy cow! Amazing. Hats are off to Hillmar
Moore. I mean, if you
Moore.
Go back to Apopka, that's a very, it's probably a couple thousand people.
Yeah.
So that I guess one
Richmond, Texas is, I've heard of Richmond, Texas. I think it's somewhere between, somewhere near
Dallas. Now,
there are
term limits now, isn't there? Or just some state?
Every mayor has, every city has their own rules. Okay, my friends, we will be back on Friday. Thank you for joining us. And always remember, freedom works.